Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
For KER Politics, got a blockbuster show today. Jimmy's going to start out by explaining exactly what's in part of the news today. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
You bet. So today we'll talk about the IRS whistleblowers. These are the individuals that came forward to Congress to talk about the DOJ intervention into the Hunter Biden tax evasion questions. We'll talk about the Durham report. Durham testified under oath to the House this week with some absolutely damning information on the FBI and Department of Justice that goes along with what happens with the IRS whistleblowers. We're going to talk a little bit about the Titan implosion. That's the deep submersible that went down to the Titanic that was destroyed basically by, I think, incompetence. And how that is related to the other two issues with the diversionary effort from the media. And then we're also going to talk about RFK and his gains in the polls. But again, the same media that's attacking him. And I think all four of these issues for today are very important and very relevant to what's happening in America right now with censorship and the major corporations influencing people's ideas in politics right now.
And when you hear the first story that Jim's going to talk about, we have actually provided a link to the material where Jim got this information. Jimmy, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, so the first story is really on the IRS whistleblowers. And yesterday, the House Ways and Means Committee chairman, Representative Jason Smith, put on a press conference. And in that press conference, he released the transcripts from the two IRS whistleblowers that have come to Congress and explained how their investigation over Hunter Biden tax issues were derailed by the Department of Justice. The information that is detailed in these under oath statements absolutely undermines Merrick Garland's testimony before Congress that David Weiss, the attorney, the district attorney that had the authority in Delaware to investigate this, would have free rein to go forward with indictments. It shows, first and foremost, that the DOJ intervened on multiple occasions to not allow the prosecutor to file charges in California and apparently in Washington, D.C. It also talks about how the assistant U.S. attorney, Leslie Wolf, in Delaware, actually stopped subpoenas that would have provided information for warrants for investigating and actually searching Joe Biden's guest residence where Hunter Biden was staying, that would prove some of the accusations that they have. It also names a lot of names within the FBI and the Department of Justice that actually stifled the investigation in order to protect Hunter Biden over some very serious charges. And a lot of information is actually outlined in the congressional testimony by these whistleblowers. And of course, they're also claiming that they were harassed and actually demoted or pulled off the case as retribution for their actions trying to follow the law.
Jimmy, what I find to be interesting about that is very, very spectacular news. It's something that is almost unbelievable that it didn't hit the major press. Why, in your opinion, is that the case? And you do have a link to it, correct?
That's right. There is some press that's reporting it. The Federalist is definitely doing some detailed reporting on it. The Washington Examiner, the New York Sun, of course, Breitbart, and a lot of more conservative sites are actually reporting on it.
Right.
And it was given in a press conference. But the mainstream media outlets of ABC and CBS said nothing about it. If you go to the website for CNN, you will find very deep in the politics section a small mention of the issue. But basically, under the Trump administration, while he was president, if there was an accusation like this against anybody in his family, it would have been front page news and headline news for days, if not weeks. And we know this is the case because of the accusations that Donald Trump Jr. had met with a Russian, which turned out to be an attempt to, you know, basically take off the Magnitsky Act, which stopped, which basically changed the U.S. policy in Russia. And it was absolutely a fraudulent and maybe even a setup. But what we're seeing now is complete press and mainstream corporate media, as well as tech companies, trying to censor and silence the same information. And my guess is, Al, the reason why is because it looks so bad. The information that's provided in some of this testimony, it looks so bad, it would really undermine the credibility of the reporting agencies, the news media, because of the way they've covered up for Hunter Biden. But I think it really comes down to corporate influence in order to keep power and support this administration at all cost, in order to keep their influence over a submissive administration.
You know, Jim, if that's the case, and I'm not doubting your word, I'm just saying when that comes to fruition in the sense that it is proven, it's rather amazing that it was covered up this much. I really find it almost hard to believe, because I realize that Hunter Biden is a son of the President of the United States. But the fact of the matter is there is so much collateral information in terms of the Biden family getting paid off, et cetera, you really have to wonder why it's covered up very, very efficiently. And I have to wonder why, Jim.
Well, I think it is to protect interests. It's financial interests. It's to keep the control of the deep state inside Washington. And when I say deep state, I mean these long-term bureaucrats that actually survive off the funding from these big corporate donors that are very much influenced by globalist ideologies. And, you know, I mean, some of the information here, Al, is just absolutely damning. They provided actual text messages from Hunter Biden, and I'm going to read it and quote it. "I'm sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand, and now means tonight. And Z, if I get the call or a text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows, and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I'm sitting here waiting for the call with my father." So basically, he is using the power of his father, at this time was running for president, to intimidate and influence a business partner. And And apparently this is related to $100,000 that this individual, Henry Zhao, owed him. So this goes in conjunction with actual documented information of over $8 million in money received from China, Romania, and Ukraine, and that Hunter Biden did not pay taxes on, and there are direct links to him paying members of his family, including his father, Joe Biden. These are damning accusations, and absolutely the media is trying to run away from them and keep them from being on top of the headlines. Because if people see it, they will definitely change their opinion on this administration. We know that from the Hunter Biden laptop story,
right?
And the information since then.
Well, I'm going to be very anxious to follow that link as soon as I get it, Jim. I've got no doubt in what you're saying, because I know that you are a true blue American. You've proven that by your accents throughout the years, et cetera, et cetera. I've known you for a long time, and I have no reason to doubt you. You guys stick around. We're going to be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. We continue on with KER Politics. Got a little bit more to say about the Biden family. And we got a little bit more to say also something we didn't mention directly in the prior segment. We want to talk a little bit about the continuing Durham investigation. Jimmy, you got the spotlight, sir.
Right. So some of the other facts that came out from these whistleblowers, and they've provided documented evidence. They've named a lot of names, both with the Department of Justice and the FBI. And it's quite damning. But here's one of the accusations that Hunter Biden spent, that he claimed on his taxes, prostitutes and sex clubs as write-offs in a large amount, that he was probably over $8 million in unclaimed or unidentified income from foreign governments, which equated to about $2.3 million or over $2 million.
How did you get those numbers, Jimmy? How did you get those numbers?
I got them from the documentation from
the whistleblowers. Where did they get the numbers? How did they know that it was in the sum of roughly $8 million?
So when this information has been coming out for quite a long time, the Treasury Department watched transfers of money and then provided warning notifications, actually suspicious activity reports, SARs, to investigators. And this is the IRS investigative team that identified these numbers. So they're looking at specific information about documentation of transfers of funds and movement of money from overseas to the Biden family. And of course, they were stymied and stifled by Department of Justice individuals. In one case, apparently, the FBI headquarters, and this is according to their testimony, tipped off people very close to Biden and Hunter Biden to stop them from being able to do interviews with different individuals and do a search of the Biden house. And of course, we know months later that they did find the classified material after the lawyers went there to look. So all this is coming together with the Department of Justice and the FBI and different entities in the White House that were very much insulating and protecting the Biden family from scrutiny and oversight in very clearly illegal activities.
Jimmy, we need a link to this also. I'm telling you, you're going to get a Nobel Peace Prize, Jim.
Well, I think a lot of this is being reported here by the Federalist. It's being reported. So I'm just reporting the information and then reviewing what was actually put out by the transcripts from the House Oversight Committee. And I think that's where people should take a look to actually validate and verify this information. Don't go on my word. Go on based on the documented evidence that's out there. The problem is most people aren't going to hear it because the media is being silent on many of these issues. They're protecting the mainstream corporate media are protecting the Biden family and protecting this administration. Sure. And so let's roll into the Durham investigation because that also went along this week. So John Durham, he was appointed by Bill Barr as a special prosecutor to identify the origins of the Russia collusion narrative, how that happened. And in his report, which has gotten very little media attention, again, mainstream media attention, he absolutely excoriates the senior leadership in the FBI and the Department of Justice for pursuing information to pursuing a case against Donald Trump and accusing him and actually leaking information and material to press reports, connecting him to the Russia collusion, the Russian government, in order to change the outcome of the 2016 election. And what Durham said under oath this week in testimony and what his report has put, which is basically pretty bipartisan, I mean, it's very effectively done, very well done, but it's being attacked by the left, obviously. But what he stated was that Jim Comey, and this is one of the most important pieces of information from his reporting, that John Brennan briefed the President of the United States at the time, Barack Obama, the Vice President at the time, our current president now, Joe Biden, and Jim Comey, the director of the FBI, that they had intelligence information that the Clinton campaign was preparing a counter-operation to blame Trump and connect him with Russia in order to divert away from their own email scandal that they had at the time, because they'd had this illegal server in the Clinton basement as Secretary of State. So in order to divert against that, they went ahead and perpetuated this. The intelligence was there. Barack Obama knew. The FBI's director knew, Jim Comey. The Vice President Biden knew. The Clintons knew because they prepared it. And lo and behold, the chief investigator, when they initiated this investigation to start the, quote, crossfire hurricane investigation.
Yeah. What about the crossfire and hurricane investigation, Jim?
Pardon me?
What about the crossfire hurricane investigation?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So
yeah, I'm sorry.
They kicked this off on predicated on some false information that turned out to be absolutely false, including the Steele dossier, this crazy dossier saying all these crazy accusations that have, none of the information was confirmed, and some other intelligence that looks like it was planted by individuals possibly with connections to the FBI, planted this investigation in order to spy on the campaign, and then continue the argument that somehow Trump was involved with the Russians, even though they had intelligence, clear information that showed that the Clinton campaign was preparing it, that it was done through Perkins Coie and Mark Elias, their lawyer. And while that went forward, the FBI was actually still leaking information implying that Trump was under investigation, that this was going on. That is absolute, that in my view, that was sedition prior to the election. Once the election was over, that is treason against the government of the United States conducted by the senior membership of the FBI.
You know, Jimmy, I got to tell you, and this is very obvious, and I know that the out-of-the-box Jerry is going to jump all over this, as he did yesterday. Jerry had a comment that I want to direct our listeners to. It had to do with society in America, and I have to tell you, it's a long comment, almost a full page, very thought-provoking, and very, very, I would have to say, let's just leave it at a thought-provoking. Jimmy, we got about a minute left.
Yeah, so this problem with the Durham report, this problem with the IRS whistleblowers, these are very serious accusations of a double standard of law in the United States. And Durham was asked a question, what would this mean for the future, by Harriet Hagman from Wyoming. And basically he says, our republic won't stand with this type of dual system of government. And I tend to agree with it. And it gets even deeper, and we'll talk into some of the misinformation that was put out and what was going on with the Titan implosion. And then we'll talk about RFK in the end here in the last segment.
We're going to be right back, you guys. I hope you find this interesting, and check the sources.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back after the top of the hour news. More politics from the Corlin Economics Report. Jim has provided links, by the way, to virtually everything that he's been talking about on the show. You can read, go to those links, and you can see that this is not BS. This is what somebody credible is reporting. Going to talk in this segment just a little bit more about Durham, and we're going to go on and talk about the Titan situation. Jimmy, you got the spotlight again. This almost feels like it's your show, bud.
Well, I just I've been spending a lot of time tracking this information, and I think it's important to share to our with our listeners. It's because you're not going to see it on a lot of the at that top of the hour news on the radio, or certainly on the mainstream media outlets. So it's really important to spread, to talk about this information. One thing you did see this last week was this submersible, this the Titan, which is a paid for commercial project to go down and take a look at the deep bottom of the Titanic for $250,000 per person to go ride on this sub that was actually being controlled apparently by a game controller. So last week it disappeared just prior to this IRS whistleblower report and the Durham investigation. And whether or not that is directly related to those things, I'm not going to speculate. But what I do know is that, and what has been reported by the Pentagon, that when the first day that the submarine disappeared and apparently lost contact, both through text message and the controlling of the sub, the U.S. Navy's deep sensor system to track submarines, and I'm very familiar with this from my time at U.S. Pacific Command, identified a large explosion in that area. That information, according to some reports, the Wall Street Journal's reporting, may have been passed to the searchers, but was not publicly announced. And what we saw over the next week, simultaneously to this information coming out in this investigation with the Durham report and the whistleblowers, is headlines continually talking about the sub search, talking about the possibility that they may still be alive, and talking about the possibility that, you know, when their oxygen would run out. And it basically inundated mainstream media for the entire week. When it did that, it covered over these other two probably most important political and legal stories in American history, in my view. So you've got to wonder, why was there no notification to the press until after these two incidents, these two hearings, one the IRS whistleblower press conference and the Durham investigation? Why did the Department of Defense actually make an announcement that they had heard the explosion after the fact? This is a question I think many, many people ought to ask. And when you look at the all the different issues that we're seeing with the FBI incompetence with the Durham report and their absolute effort to undermine a sitting president. This is not just a political effort. This is from a political party. This is actually people within the FBI, the director of the FBI, not passing information to his chief investigator, Joe Pienka. Apparently when Pienka heard about that when he was being interviewed by Durham, he actually was inflamed with anger and went out and spoke with his lawyer and came back because he was like, how could I not know that they all knew that this was a Clinton fabricated effort to undermine Trump? So you've got this combination.
Jim, I got to break in here and ask you a question. Why would Clinton be involved in bashing Trump?
Oh, this is the 2016 election. He was running against Trump. And of course, and she was under intense scrutiny because of the illegal server she had in her basement that had classified material on it, and then the lies that the Obama administration put out.
Just to clarify it in my mind, and I suppose in the listeners' minds, what you're saying is the Clintons were unhappy and they wanted to clear Hillary Clinton's name, and this was an attempt to do that. Is that correct?
They didn't want to clear her name. They wanted to divert attention away from her problems and throw shade on Donald Trump's campaign and tie him to the Russians. And it was an orchestrated effort to do it. And it was supported by senior members of the FBI and the Department of Justice.
But what does Clinton have to do with this right now?
Well, I'm talking about what happened in the past. What she has to do with it is, this is what started the investigation process with the FBI. It was coordinated by her campaign. And what I'm talking about is the diversion away from her problems towards the Trump campaign in 2016, which is what the Durham report talked about. And now let's link it together to what's been happening this week with this diversion of media attention on this submarine, and then the government not actually providing information that they heard an explosion until after they actually find the wreck. And while simultaneously there's hearings from the Durham investigation showing how the FBI accommodated the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton in that 2016 campaign by blaming Trump and continuing to undermine his presidency for 3 years. So the linkage here is, how often does the government either withhold information for their best political interests, and their best political interest would have been Hillary Clinton in 2016, now it's Joe Biden, with the both the IRS whistleblowers and this event with the Durham investigation? Because the Durham investigation goes right back to the Obama administration with Clinton when she was Secretary of State and the mistakes they made. So it's all wrapped up in deep state elements attempting to silence or divert attention, to use the press, which has a short-term memory span, in order to divert away from the problems with the Bidens, with the Clintons, and actually Barack Obama's direct involvement.
Okay, I guess it's a bit of a stretch in my mind, but it does make sense.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear that they have done this on numerous occasions.
Okay.
When the FBI leaked information on the Trump investigation, when they leaked the dossier, and remember, that wasn't done just with the Democrats. It was actually leaked, and the dossier was given away by John McCain in order to alienate Donald Trump because of the rhinos in Washington hated him so much and they feared him so much. So you're seeing a full court effort, in my view, in my opinion, in order to divert people's attention away from very serious issues that take away freedom of speech, that take away, that force censorship on people, in order to divert them away from issues that are really substantive.
All right.
Certainly the corruption inside Washington, D.C., with the FBI, with the DOG, and DOJ favoring a particular political party or entity. And I think that's done because of tremendous influence and lobbying efforts in order to protect this administration so they can continue down the route with their agendas.
Jimmy, let's take this one step farther. By a lobbying effort on the part of basically the Democrats?
Lobbying effort by major corporations that want to support the Democrats.
Okay.
Both in an ideological sense, but also in a financial sense.
Okay.
They can buy their way out of problems, and they can do that with a corrupt administration. And I see, and we're seeing evidence mount and pile up of a very corrupt administration that was being protected by the law enforcement agencies in Washington.
Yeah, kind of sad if it's really come to that, Jim. I do have to say that. The good old
It's becoming quite apparent, I think, to many people.
Okay, just keep those clicks coming, you guys. You have any doubts about this? I know you don't, Jerry, but those of you who may have doubts, click the source buttons that we have on this information. By the way, I do want to say, and we're almost out of time on this segment, that I really appreciated your roughly one-page long comment, Jerry, about the status of society. Thank you. Be right back. Hey, welcome back. Last segment of KER Politics. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about the Titan. How that information was suppressed until after the information on Hunter Biden came out. It was the Titan was suppressed for a couple of days. Jimmy, can you explain?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before in the last segment, this very sophisticated and very highly classified tracking system for submarines, they immediately were tracking the explosion of the vessel within very quickly after they had lost contact with the vessel. And this is according to the Department of Defense reporting it. But the Wall Street Journal came out with a big article saying, hey, they tracked it and they informed the commander, the on-site commander. But again, the media didn't know about that until afterwards. Why did they hold it until after they actually found the debris fields? Why didn't they say that early? Because people probably would have been said, oh, they more than likely they're dead. It wouldn't have been the headline news stories.
But the headline news stories persisted through the week and covered up these events with the Durham report hearings, with the Hunter Biden indictment, and with the IRS whistleblowers and the Ways and Means Committee chairman. And I'm going to give one other piece of information before we roll on to the last part of like media silencing people on RFK. So James Cameron, baby, very famous movie director and, of course, deep sea explorer, the guy that went down and filmed the Titanic and really, you know, went through tremendous efforts to identify what went on with it and did a lot of information about it. He said, and this is according to him personally on video in an interview, he said that the moment he heard it lost communications and that it lost control from the vehicle, support vessel above, that it had to have exploded. And he actually said that the whole week he knew this was a, quote, nightmarish charade to think that people were surviving. But it continued, and the White House and the Pentagon did not provide that early information of the explosion to the public. And some people can speculate, and you can make a decision on your own, but in order to cover up for all the negative press that was coming out this week about Hunter Biden, about the IRS whistleblowers, and of course about the indictments and the Ways and Means Committee information, as along with the Durham report hearings. So that really pulled the attention of the mainstream media, this whole sub thing all week long. So it's very disturbing. And I'm gonna let's go into a little bit on RFK and the same type of treatment that he's getting with the media, that this diversionary efforts and the control by, in my view, very powerful corporate entities that support the Democratic Party and support the
right. Party. Well, you will notice that I have been crowing about RFK Jr. for quite some time now, but I have also put the picture of Trump and RFK Jr. on our home page just to remind listeners what we're all about. I basically support RFK Jr. for a couple of reasons. The same reason I supported Trump back in 2015. I'm looking for a change. If even 50% of the allegations against our president are true, I don't want him occupying the Oval Office.
Well, it's interesting to see the media absolutely come out viciously against RFK. And of course, they're attacking him on the vaccine injury issues. And
you
of
bet
course,
they
the
are.
Way he's looked at COVID. They're hitting him hard on it. But the problem is, it's very difficult when he has done research that studied it, spent a lot of time working on this. He does his website, Children's Defense League, I believe, which is, you know, provides a lot of information for families and parents of potential impact of you know, negative health effects for children. So he's really hard to counter because he has so much information. And but if the media is silencing him, attempting to make him look, you know,
like a bad guy.
Well, not just like a bad guy, but like a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And they're doing the same things that they did to Trump. Maybe, and I think Tucker Carlson said this in his latest episode, and I think everyone should take a look at that, maybe even more so than they did with Trump in 2015 and 16. They're not giving him any credit at all. However, he is actually probably higher right now than Joe Biden in Democratic primary polls, and polls very effectively against Trump in those polls. Of course, you know, all polls are questionable these days.
Right, they are.
All information is questionable. Yeah. Everyone should take a hard look at it, but to absolutely silence him is, you know, not only is it undemocratic, it's actually tyrannical and it's authoritarian. But you see again this linkage between media diverting people's attention or blaming and attacking and stopping and silencing any debate or discussion across the board. And I think it's, you know, obviously we're reaching unbelievable places in America right now because of it.
Yeah, it really is. It's rather amazing to me since all of this stuff is documented that you have amassed for the show, I have to say it's amazing to me the way our country is going. And I want to commend Out of the Box for writing what he wrote yesterday in his very insightful comment that was probably a full page long, single-spaced, I might add. Way to go, Jer.
Well, you know, we're in this position in America right now.
Yeah.
Where people live off their cell phones, live off the mainstream media, and they live off, you know, I mean, they don't pay attention too much. Most people really don't want to get involved in politics. 90% of people, they don't want to, they want their lives to be, you know, going to work, taking care of their families, enjoying the weekend. They want to live well. What
yeah.
they don't realize is how rapidly their freedom, their information is being manipulated and taken away from them. You know, there's not a lot of facts, because when people actually hear that the FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop in October of 2019 and then went forward just before Rudy Giuliani and others presented to the public, and Miranda Devine for the New York Post published the information on it and warned people that it was disinformation, and then to find out that actually they had it in October of 2019, almost a year before, and they validated that it was real in November 2019, and then 8-9 months later, they were actually telling tech companies to censor and silence people that might be promoting Russian disinformation, when they knew, in fact, it wasn't Russian disinformation. And then it was supported by 51 senior former Obama intelligence officials, and actually some of the Trump officials who were unaware of the manipulation, the willingness of the Democratic Party and these powerful entities to do whatever it takes to silence opposition. And this is what RFK is facing right now. It's what Ron DeSantis will face. It's what Chris Christie would face. Well, maybe not Chris Christie, because he's probably an inside swamp creature as well. But anybody that tries to undermine the power centralized in D.C. right now are going to get these types of attacks.
Would surprise me a bit, Jim, not a bit. And it doesn't surprise me a bit that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Would be attacked as he is. I really believe that based on your information, you're correct. And I think this is much more than just a campaign ploy on the half of the Biden party, the Biden folks.
Yeah, no, I think it's very much a full-on effort to protect the corrupt right now. And
yeah.
I think it's very damaging. And I want to finish the show here. We've only got a few minutes left, or a few 30, 40 seconds left. Yevgeny Prigozhin, the director of Wagner, the mercenaries fighting in Ukraine, has come out with videos, multiple videos, absolutely destroying the Putin administration and the people in Russia, the military in particular, over what's happening and the losses and the deaths of soldiers. It is very interesting to watch. Pull out the popcorn, because there's going to be some infighting inside Russia pretty soon because of what's happening in Ukraine.
Where is that available to watch, Jim?
You have to watch it in Russian, but you can watch it on a couple of different things. But I watched it in Russian and watched him speak.
Okay, find a link if you will, and I'll put it up as soon as I get it. You guys, it's been fun doing this show. Boy, this country is turning into a Woodland Park Zoo. Stick around. We are going to be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.